Today's Old Testament reading comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test, and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle, Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
In our gospel reading today, we take something a little out of order and we read from Jesus' crucifixion. The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It was finished upon that cross. So much of what we have to say in church is summed up in that last line right there. It was finished on that cross. In fact, today that line holds true for many things. Today, the church year is finished on that cross. As you may not know, but Happy New Year's Eve. Today is the end of the church year. Next Sunday, we begin a whole new church year. It starts in Advent. It works its way all the way through. We hit all the highlights. We get to Pentecost. And then after Pentecost, we think of the growth of the church that happens through the sharing of the gospel, the news that Jesus Christ died for all. And we get to have green for a good long time up here. If you like the color green, it's perfect. At the end of the church year, we consider all that Christ has done for us. We have Thanksgiving coming up, and on Thanksgiving, I'm sure you'll get a chance to say thanks for many things. I hope that every day we remember to be thankful for what Christ has done for us on the cross. Now, with all this in mind, it makes more sense, perhaps, why the appointed reading for today in our lectionary kind of jumps what seems out of order. I'm very thankful that Dr. Borecki mentioned that I should mention, at least briefly, that this reading is coming. We've been having a lot of parables and Jesus teaching, and last week he's there at the temple, and he's pointing out the temple, and it's all going to get taken down. He's teaching with his disciples. And if we were just to jump from that reading into this one, and there followed a great multitude, and they were mourning. What happened? What did I miss? Well, I was here last Sunday, I think. And then we could start reading more, and like, wait a second, I know my church calendar. It's not Good Friday. What's going on? Why is Jesus on the cross today? This reading sure seems to come out of nowhere, but it comes at the end of our church year when really all these different seasons, all of the different decorations, all of the chancel artwork, everything we have helps point us to the same truth shown in different seasons, that Christ has died for you and for me, that our sins are paid for. What a fitting way to end our church year. What a perfect way to end not just our church year, but so for those who are like really on like the inside baseball track, we have a 3-year lectionary that gives us our readings over the course of 3 years. It's really nice for me. I don't have to come up with what am I preaching on Sunday. I look at the lectionary. Oh, good. Someone else smarter than me said cover this. Sure. It's rough when you have back-to-back weeks of different things that are really difficult to share with. Like, can't we just have like Jesus, the Lamb of God? So nice. But it sure is great to have the lectionary which walks us through different parts of the Bible at specific seasons to show us the goodness of God's Word, to pick out for us different readings, Old Testament and New Testament, so you don't just have Pastor up here on my soapbox saying, we're studying Philippians again because I like it. Yay. Instead, we follow this historical lectionary, walking through God's Word in different seasons, hitting different readings. And today, we don't just end the end of our church year, we end the end of the 3rd year of our lectionary series. We have lectionary series A, B, and C, and today is the end of C. So it's a triply end of the year. Happy Super New Year's Eve in the church year. It's very exciting, Super New Year's Eve, yes. We're ending the 3-year lectionary today, and we start over with A. We've been reading through the Gospel of Luke this whole last year. It's a fun thing to get to follow through one gospel and hear for a whole year's time kind of how each of the gospel writers does things. We pick up with Matthew again next year, well, next Sunday, in the next church year. And we get to hear again in a different writing, in a different way, these truths about our Savior Jesus Christ, about the gospel that we have both for us to inwardly digest and to share with our neighbors. Here at the end of the lectionary, here at the end of Christ's ministry in Luke, before he dies for the sins of the world, we get to see that it is all finished upon that cross. We get to see that all of our concern, all of our fear, all of the mocking, all of the scorn towards God, everything finds its end and its completion on the cross. We know that our sins are fully paid for. Using our Old Testament reading, appointed by the three-year lectionary on the final day of the third year of the lectionary, we have Malachi chapter 3. In the last verses, it said, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him." Well, that's not at the end of the Gospel of Luke, but it sure sounds like it. We get to see that God's plan from the beginning was to tell us that there will be a day when those who serve him will be spared and those who do not will not be spared. He will spare them or save them as he does for the Son who serves him. The Father sent the Son that he might save you and me, that anyone who might trust in Jesus would be spared. The same way that the Father should spare his Son from pain and suffering and death, he chooses to save you instead. The Father in heaven chooses to spare you as his child more than his Son who he sent to die for you. God loves you dearly. God calls you his child, his son or his daughter. He says, "I will save you. Yes, there will be pain in this life. Yes, there will be suffering. Yes, you will die. But you shall not perish." That was the words from last week. "Though you might die, not a hair of your head will perish. You will be saved. You will be spared." All because the Father sent his Son, and the Son knew that he had an assignment. He knew he had his job. He knew he had his mission. Here at the end of his earthly ministry, as he's there on the cross, he says, "Do not weep for me," to those who are mourning his death. They see our Savior beaten and bloodied, nailed to a cross. While he lives, the few things he has to his name, he didn't have a home. The few things he had were the clothes on his back, and those things are being divided up as if he's already gone. And here he says, "Don't mourn for me." Because again, this is all part of the plan. From the very beginning, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And following that, we could even change the sentence, "for they know not what they say," even. Three separate times, starting with the rulers, "He saved others, let him save himself." Then the soldiers who were there crucifying him, "You're the king of the Jews, save yourself." Then even the criminal dying next to him, "Save yourself and us. Get us down off this cross." That last line, "Save yourself and us." Clearly, these three separate times, these people did not know what they were doing and they did not know what they were saying. Jesus was dying there so that he could save us, so that he would save you and save me. Here at the end of his ministry, it all ends on that cross. We are so thankful that he did not come down off that cross as he could have, being God. We are so thankful he did not save himself in that moment, said, "Just kidding, look, I'm God, see?" He stayed on that cross because he knew that if he died, that death could not hold him, that he would be raised from the dead and that you and I would have the same promise of eternal life, that we too would be raised from the dead, knowing our sinfulness, all of our fear, all of our concern, all of the mocking and scorning for trusting in him, would die there on that cross. And so, at the end of our gospel readings of Luke, at the end of our three-year lectionary series, nearing the end of this sermon, remember all that we've learned before. Remember everything that's come before this. All the different readings we've had, all the different sermons by me and by others, all the different Bible studies, both led here at Christ the Vine or at home with yourself and with God or with your family. Remember it all, and remember how everything points to this truth, that Jesus Christ did die so that he could save us. You have nothing to worry about for eternity, because our sin finds its end on that cross. Remember that for Thanksgiving coming up. Remember that in the new year to come, the new three-year lectionary, the super new year. And as you continue to learn more and more from the same readings, we'll get them again. I'll try not to say the exact same thing 3 years from now. Remember all of it, and remember that your sin found its end, and we in the church continue this season of growth. As we prepare for our next season, as I look forward to seeing you next year in Advent, celebrating as we get ready for Christmas, wild that it's close nearby, we jump into thinking of Christ's second coming. We get to consider the time when he will come again, saying, I, the one who died for you, the one who rose from the grave, the one who ascended into heaven and has been sitting at the right hand of the Father, I have come to bring you there with me. What a fitting way to end this year and prepare for that one, to prepare for his second coming, to remember that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And Happy New Year.